Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun and LasVegasSun.com, and I write for The Sunday, which is our new publication. It comes out on The Sunday, except when it comes out on The Saturday. And all the titles in Greenspun Media Group. What's going on, Trish McCrone?
Tell me about
Nothing
yourself.
Much. I am nothing. Just hanging, just chilling, just doing the thing, you know, normal.
Doing what you do.
Yeah, exactly. And, it's like, it's crazy because it's so hot here.
Yes.
Like, it's like, and I know we all, enough, we get it's hot. We all complain. I was about to use the B word. We all complain about the heat, and it's every summer, but it's still, like, it's still, for some reason, it still takes me by surprise, and I can complain
it's
about
hot. It. It's hot. I don't like when it gets hot earlier than normal. It seems like, is this earlier than normal right now?
Yes, it is. Well, now it's not.
For
but
a string
I mean,
of 100 degree days.
Yeah, exactly. But this like happened in April.
Yeah, had a 100 degree day in May, and that's too early. But yeah. What do you do? I mean, really.
I mean,
what
we live
do?
Here. What else we can? Well, it's obviously, I know what you do. You write for every single publication and column and everything that
you know,
is possibly out there in the world.
As far as the weather goes, yeah, I'm indoors all the time. I will take the intense heat over the intense cold any day. I'll take 115 over 15 below any time, and I've been in both. So I don't like the cold more than I don't like the heat.
I'm on the fence, I must say.
I don't think cold will lock up a city the way that heat will lock up a city the way that cold will.
Well,
you know?
Unless all the power goes out in the air and the
it
people die
happens.
Of heat. It happened in Chicago years
very
and years
rarely.
Ago. Okay.
I mean, you get snow problems in cities all the time, but I mean, a heat related disaster that's just heat is fairly rare.
All right. I guess I'll go with
I
you on that.
I go up to see my family in Idaho over the holidays, and I see snowmobiles on the streets all the time. That's no way to live. That's
I think
no
it's
way
kind of
live.
Fun. I think it sounds fun.
Ah,
I think it sounds horrible.
They're
I think
not
it sounds like
transportation.
Wonderfully
they're vehicles
fun.
Are recreation vehicles.
Okay, bah humbug.
Meh.
Bah humbug. You know what we never talked about, and it happened so long ago, but and I don't know why we didn't talk about it, but we
Y2K.
Yes, exactly.
What happened
actually,
with that Y2K?
Exactly. Nothing. That's the point.
What was it? What was it? I'm sorry to interrupt.
That a few weeks back, we went to a event at the Smith Center. And we sat with Myron Martin and his beautiful wife.
Oh, yeah, Myron
Dana.
And Dana. Yeah.
And, it was on the stage at the Smith Center. It was
yes.
Their big, and we never mentioned it.
It
we never
big,
talked about it.
It was a big donor dinner.
Yeah.
It has an official name. Anyway, it's the people who donate to the Smith Center who take up 25% of the funding of it every year. It's that group, the Champions Dinner or something like that.
Yeah, it was very cool. They had everybody, the dinner was kind of you, they had little setups of all the major restaurants in downtown. And
exactly.
So you kind of got to sample a little bit of everything. But it was very cool, like sitting on that stage, looking out into that beautiful theater. And, you know, it was
amazing. The Clarion Circle is what it was called.
Yeah.
That's what it was called. And we had a nice time with Myron and his wife, Dana, who's a former Miss Texas.
Yes.
Miss Texas USA. I think.
And a former Jubilee dancer.
And a former Jubilee dancer and a wonderful singer. And we saw Cheyenne Jackson.
Yes,
sing.
Who was so talented.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazingly
a great,
fantastic.
Great performer and a little band there. And we're looking out toward the seating area.
Yeah,
of
it was
the Smith Center.
It was all very, very cool. Ran into
Hall.
Some people that hadn't seen in a while. Like there were a lot of really cool people there. Like our Ross Miller was
uh-huh.
there.
Right.
I ran into a Jody Ghanem, a very like a uh-huh. friend I hadn't seen in forever. The widow of
Elias
Ghanem. And so Nancy
Housel
was
there.
Yeah,
the
Nancy
Housel.
It was a very upper-class event.
It really was cool. And Keith Bowman was there, who's the cardiologist whose endowment helped pay for the building that houses the Cabaret Jazz. It's called Bowman Pavilion, and a great supporter of the arts. He was there. And Paul Beard, I think, the executive, was in the house too. So it was a really cool it was a cool thing for us to do. It was really an honor to be invited, and it was really an honor to be invited to sit with Myron.
I know. Dana. I was surprised. I know when Dana said, oh, Myron wanted us, you two, to sit here, and I was like, wow.
Like, what's the catch? I checked my seat for a whoopee cushion.
Exactly. It was very cool. So no thing. That was a fun night, and it was different than of the norm of what is usually going on in town that
exactly.
is attended. So it was a cool thing. So we love the Smith Center. I know we have people on here all the time.
Yeah,
from
we
the
do.
Smith Center. We've had Myron on, and But it was a really neat event, and we failed to mention it. I don't know why.
Yeah, and later this summer we're gonna have Book of Mormon coming in, and also my
Kinky Boots
and Kinky Boots also, and also my buddy Jerry Lewis is gonna be doing a show there.
Oh, that's
in September,
right? Who we just saw a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we just saw a couple weeks back. We saw him the other night, so you can see that show at the Smith Center.
Yeah.
But enough about that. We need to get to our guest.
Yes.
Coming up is the man who is one of the great artists, one of the great arrangers, musicians in this city, who's the music director of Pinup and the founder of Pop Evolution by the name of David Perico. He's a return guest. But first, we're going to have Josh Bell with movies, so stick around. I know we will.
Hi, this is Clint Holmes. I am at Cabaret Jazz at the Smith Center, and you are listening to Cats with the Dish.
Same identities, same assignment.
We're going back to high school?
You look like you're about 50. You're going to MC State. Somebody's out there, they're cooking up a new drug.
That's Ice Cube as Police Captain Dixon in the new action comedy sequel, 22 Jump Street. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Pointing out the emptiness of a cash-in franchise sequel doesn't excuse it, and 22 Jump Street doesn't just joke about rehashing the plot of its predecessor, which itself was based on the 80s cop drama 21 Jump Street. It does exactly that, sending the bumbling cops played by Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum undercover as students to root out the supplier of a new drug. This time around, they're posing as college students rather than high school students, but otherwise most of the beats are the same, just trading one set of obvious devices for another. I give 22 Jump Street 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the animated sequel How to Train Your Dragon 2, featuring Jay Baruchel as the voice of dragon befriending warrior Hiccup.
Life here is amazing, just not for the faint of heart. You see, where most folks enjoy hobbies like whittling or needlepoint, we prefer a little something we like to call dragon racing.
Writer-director Dean DeBlois has a tough time coming up with a new story for the sequel, and instead of the first movie's simplicity, the sequel opts for narrative clutter, with a number of different plot threads vying for attention. Despite inventive design for the dragons and exhilarating flying sequences, the plot is unfocused and jumbled, borrowing elements from other fantasy movies without bringing them together into a cohesive whole. I give How to Train Your Dragon 2 2.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. What you heard there was a version of Circus by Britney Spears, as reconceived by the man sitting with us now. He is the music director of Pinup at the Stratosphere, a post he has held since March of 2013. He is also founder of Pop Evolution, the 22-piece show band that is going to play the Smith Center Cabaret Jazz Room on June 24th at 10 p.m. And he's also the music director for the steampunk production Alice in Wonderland, as performed by BBR, that's Ann Martinez and Savannah Smith, which is performing an encore show at Tuscany's T-Spot on June 17th. One more time at the T-Spot. He's a busy guy, so we're glad to have him here. Welcome back to Cats with the Dish, David Perico.
Wow, with all that, you forgot to mention Ohio native.
He's an Ohio native.
That's okay, right. Great to be back.
Good to see you. There's so much going on with you.
Yeah, why do you have time to talk to us?
It's
always
not
anytime.
When you put it down, you're one of the busiest artists in the city. Let us talk about first what you're excited about most recently is the booking at the Smith Center Cabaret Jazz for Pop Evolution.
Absolutely.
Tell me about how important that is for your band, which has just left in May the Stratosphere.
Yeah, right now, I mean, we just finished a 1-year residency at the Stratosphere. They offered another 1-year contract, but actually, the Smith Center, I've been, talking with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now it's for the evolution of the band, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. I think it's playing in a concert venue. It's going to allow us to explore different music and different arrangements more in a concert type setting than a show setting.
Mm-hmm.
So
how is the show going to be different at the Smith Center than it was at the showroom at the Stratosphere?
I think it'll be more, it won't be too much different, but there may be a few more originals that are more jazzy.
Yeah.
I would say.
Because it's called Cabaret Jazz.
Yeah. a little bit more exploring maybe in depth some more intricate arrangements.
I don't know that there's been a larger collection of musicians in cabaret jazz and pop evolution. We've had large bands in there, but I don't know. Yeah. I think you guys are going to bring 20 people in there.
Yeah, it's 20 pieces plus me.
Okay.
And with Naomi Morrow on lead vocals.
She's always your singer.
Yep.
She's the constant.
She is.
And when you've been in the room to explore what it's like,
yeah.
What do you think of it acoustically?
Acoustically, it's great. I think it's one of the best rooms in the city.
And you've played in there with Lon Bronson.
I've played in there with Danny Serafin, the drummer from Chicago.
Right, right.
A couple other projects, and most recently with Lon's mm-hmm. all-star band. But yeah,
who is in Pop Evolution?
This is all very incestuous.
It's funny because there was kind of, as I look at it, David, there was kind of a little bit of a race to see who was going to get into that room first among local bands, and you won in a way, but Pop Evolution didn't win in a way.
Well,
your affiliation with Lon ended up being you were in there before anybody else.
But. Well, you know, in that sense, you know, all races end in a tie there.
Yeah.
So
eventually everybody gets in there.
You know, yeah. I mean, Lon, you know, his band has been together since the Gettysburg Address. And, you know,
they opened for Lincoln.
They opened for Lincoln.
They played the inaugural.
But Lon is great. I mean, I couldn't be more excited for Lon that he actually, as I, you know, said, maybe cracked the code.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Myron over there, the CEO,
mm-hmm.
Myron Martin, he's just really, really thrilled and excited about bringing in Pop Evolution now.
Right.
We were talking about a year ago
mm-hmm.
About bringing the band in, and I had just signed a contract with the Stratosphere. So, and the Stratosphere wanted a 100% exclusivity.
Yeah.
So, and that was kind of tough to play just once a month, not being able to play anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So when this term came up, we decided, I think it was for the band's best interest and everybody's best interest to move on.
Now, is this going to be a reoccurring thing at the Smith Center? Or?
I hope so. I hope it will be. In their words, it's something that they want to build on. So I feel very optimistic about it.
Right. Are they going to make that decision based on your performance at the box office on the first show?
I think that has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Numbers always mean everything, you know, these days. So, but I feel very confident that we'll have a good turnout.
One thing that Lon has talked about as well is the difference between selling tickets, you know, when people are used to seeing you in one form, and mm-hmm. selling tickets at the Smith Center is a whole different challenge.
Right.
How do you anticipate facing that as Pop Evolution? Because it's hard to describe in a way what you guys do until you've seen what you do, the power of that band.
Yeah, basically, I mean, selling tickets with the locals, I think, I mean, just in the short term now, since I announced it on Facebook, Facebook is my manager. No, actually, I do have management, Craig Romali Entertainment. But
I know Craig.
Yeah. The thing is I think the locals are really excited about seeing the band at that venue, because it's actually smaller, but there's a nice cachet, panache.
Mm-hmm.
It's an arts building. It's for the arts, the fine and performing arts.
So yeah.
It gives us a little, you know, even more cachet, credibility playing there. So I think people are, if anything, they're going to be curious how that's going to work in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Pop Evolution, the way it's built, the way I have it built, suggest that it's a 20-piece band that's, you know, it's based on the older big band formation,
but a
spin on recreating popular music in that mm-hmm. in that instrumentation.
Well, that's kind of what Kat said in the beginning. I mean, will you physically fit?
Yeah, we've marked it out. It's going to be really tight. But you know, we played on the Palms.
Palms is the other one, yeah.
When we went into the Palms, there was the same issue. Everyone was saying, "Oh, you'll never fit. You'll never fit." And I was just like, "Nah."
It's four or five more than what Lopez puts on stage.
Yeah, it's like, nah,
with
we'll
Santa
make,
Fe.
We'll make it fit. We'll make it fit.
I can't even remember what it looked like now. But you guys were at the South Point first,
South Point,
then Palms,
then the Palms,
and then Stratosphere.
Stratosphere
now,
yeah,
here mostly. You've mentioned how the band approaches its craft. You've always been one to say a show band, not necessarily a big band.
Right.
And that is because you don't want people thinking of like Glenn Miller or...
Well, yeah, just so there isn't any confusion.
Yeah.
Because then once you put in big band, then you will get some of the people from that demographic that are expecting to hear Tommy Dorsey, Harry James, mm-hmm. Count Basie, which is great. So I always just keep it as, you know, 20-piece band.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't play any swing music.
No. Unless you consider Hot for Teacher.
Well, we swing music.
You know, well, people may have swung to it.
Kelsey swing.
Yeah, the thing is taking
swingers.
Taking tunes from some of my favorite bands growing up in the 80s, like Motley Crue, as you mentioned, Van Halen, and just putting the big band spin on it. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's name check a few of the songs. We don't want to give away the whole set list, but sure. A few of the songs you're going to be playing at Smith Center.
Our opener is always the opener, which is Circus, mm-hmm. our version of Britney Spears, which you mm-hmm. have played coming in. And then there's some Foreigner, there's some Motley Crue, some Sting.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a handful of originals where I like to bring out. That's another thing with the instrumentation is it's different in the sense that we have viola, we right. have French horn. In the sax section, they double on bassoon, bass, clarinet, flute, and all the saxes. We have two guitar players. So it's a little bit of a different instrumentation than your traditional Count Basie, Duke Ellington, right. Harry James.
Yeah. And these players you mentioned, I mean, we go down the list. Mm-hmm. Just the guitarist, Stephen Lee, Jim Buck, are
guitar
monster,
gods.
Monster, both of them, monster players in the city.
Yeah.
They all have, everybody in the show has a gig somewhere
yep.
else. How do you organize and keep these guys in the mix when you've played infrequently, only once a month, and now it'll be more than a month before you get to the Smith Center. How do you keep everybody assembled and in the band?
You know, the thing about working with such top pros is they're professionals in all aspects. You know, they're not the typical what you might think of musicians that, you know, they write the dates down. They're top pros in everything that they do. So I depend on limited communication. I'll send out one email, save the date. This is what we're doing. We very rarely rehearse. I mean, my rehearsals were just basically a 20-minute sound check. So it just comes down to my pen writing and trusting that they're going to read it and interpret it. And I just trust.
Right. And these aren't people who are just hanging around in their attic, you know,
no,
playing guitar.
No.
Stevens and Donnie Marie, Jim Buck with Terry Fader. You got Gossie Horns players in there.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody's got a
Tom somewhere. DeLibro's lead trumpet with Terry Fader
yeah.
as well. Mm-hmm.
Lon himself.
Lon, of
runs
course.
A band. Uh-huh.
It's just everybody's top notch.
Now, is it hard to find a time? Because, for example, with Pinup, you had that shows a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Everybody's schedules vary so much. I mean, is it kind of have to be a little rotating with the players that can be there on every night, or is it on the nights that you need them, or is it just usually the exact core people?
It's usually the exact core because we try to program the dates where it's going to work for everybody.
But how can you do that? I mean, because everybody's got different dark nights and stuff. I would think that that'd be mm-hmm. that would be a a feat in itself.
It is a juggling. It is uh-huh. It is a juggle. But in general, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are the dark days for Pinup and a lot of other shows. So mm-hmm. that leaves it open. And then when you throw it at a later time, 10:30, 11, which by the way, Smith Center is at 10 p.m., doors at 9:30, a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes easier to get that fantasy football team together.
Is the goal with this project, and I'm going to ask the same question about
sure.
BBR also,
sure.
is the goal for this project to perform monthly at the Smith Center, will that be enough for you? Or do you want to really get into a regular weekly gig at a resort? Or what is your magic wand formula for this act?
No magic wand, but actually, perfect scenario. I'm happy with playing at the Smith Center once a month with Pop Evolution and keeping it fresh. But I'm always open to if somebody like Caesars or Cosmopolitan or two of my favorite properties, Caesars Palace and Cosmopolitan, if they wanted to do something with and get behind it and make it a show, I'm certainly open to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I, which I think would really work with those demographics, especially Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, yeah. They do that thing at the Chandelier Bar.
Yeah, they do that. Wide open. And then what's Rose Rabbit Lie?
And Rose Rabbit Lie in the Vegas Nocturne Room.
Yeah, so.
Would be interesting.
But
you'd have to move Vegas Nocturne out.
Yeah. But I mean, but,
they might not like that.
Yeah, that may be an issue. You may have a little chihuahua coming after you.
Yeah, Piff. But it is the type of place where you guys could.
Yeah, I mean, actually, we're looking at talking with a couple of different booking agencies that can actually place the band in Europe. That's really what, you know, we recorded the band in February live. And I'm currently working on that with Bob Lentini, mixing that. So hopefully we'll have a CD out maybe in the early fall, late summer.
And this is from the showroom, right?
This is from the showroom live. Just looking for additional funding to produce that. Ideally, it would be take the band out and tour with it, short stints. That's really what we like to take the band.
That would really be the juggle of getting everybody off of their normal gigs.
I'm reminded that Jerry said when Lopez was in here, he says getting 16 people to do something away from Las Vegas is even harder than getting them to do something in Las Vegas.
It's a juggle act, but you know what? I just keep moving forward, and if things, of course, I want Tom DeLibro playing lead, but if he can't, you know, we make those adjustments, you know. But I think in general, the guys and the gals in the band, you know, they're really excited about playing new music, and it's humbling and flattering to hear your arrangements played and being, you know, their interpretations of, I could never write what Stephen Lee plays or, you know, what, improvisationally speaking, anybody who's playing solos. I mean, that's a whole other aspect of it. I'm just providing the framework for them to do and put their artistic stamp on what it is. And to that point, I mean, to that, you know, just recently collaborating with Naomi Morrow, we've got three originals now that we wrote.
And she helped write them too?
Yep.
Naomi did?
One is called What's the Deal? The other one is called Simpler Times. One more called Never Goodbye. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing with, you have this mix of 80s, some of the 80s, even Rush, there's that we do the instrumental YYZ.
YYZ, yeah, that's a highlight.
And then there's a mix of some originals peppered in there. So
I want to ask you about BBR, one of my favorite shows in the city, and it just is mind-blowing every time I see it. You're going to do one more show at the Little Lounge at the Tuscany.
Yes.
And what is going to happen with this?
It's always a surprise.
Buy this show?
It's always a surprise. I mean, yeah, BBR, it's fantastic, you know, working with Ann Martinez and Ryan Kelsey and the whole group. And the band, I don't know. And it's, you can't put your finger on things because things always come up like very surprisingly. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on half the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you handle the music.
I handle the music, and Ann will come with some idea or something. Can we do this? And we'll do it. And so I don't know if anything special is going to happen for this encore performance. I bet there will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would definitely, look for something special to happen that show. And if somebody, we do have people that are interested in the show. I mean, there are a couple of different properties that are interested in it, but nobody has really stepped up and said, we're going to get behind this, and this is going to be the new thing here because we believe in it. Nobody has really stepped up that way.
And this is an all or nothing production, right? You buy into everything in it. You have to be part of the package. Your band, the players.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no substitute. You couldn't do it with tracks. You couldn't do it with... Uh-uh. It's kind of like a little mini Pop Evolution is the 9-piece band. It's everybody that we play with in Pop Evolution. So we have to be careful not to overbook certain things.
Yeah, you have to organize that as well.
Yeah.
And tell me about what's going on with Pinup lately. Are there any changes in the show? Anything happening there?
As far as Pinup, all I really know, we've just been dark now for a week.
Mm-hmm.
I know that... Claire Sinclair is taking some time off in July.
That's right.
And
Sabina
Kelly, rockabilly model. Mm-hmm. She's a dancer too.
She is a very good dancer.
So instead of them going dark, I guess they're bringing in Sabina Kelly.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's the first time they've done that, right? That they've replaced Claire in any way she performed.
She has not had a swing ever.
No. Neither have I.
Like, neither has Ryan, has it? I mean, there's nobody in pinup. If you're swinging pinup, you often are just you're swung out.
Yeah, man.
we had your new singer Lisa Marie on, who's lovely. Yeah. She's wonderful.
She's doing a good job.
How do you like being in pinup? How do you like it? It's been a year now.
You know, it's been a year. It's gone through a lot of transformation.
Boy, you're right there.
From the very beginning, and then the pre-show stuff before it even opened to now. Mm-hmm. I think it's evolved to the point where it's not going to, I don't want to say it's going to get any better, but it's maintaining.
It's where it is.
It's where it is. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think it could be a little bit shorter of a show. That's just my two cents.
Cut a couple of months out.
How long is it?
Cut a couple of months out.
Go with
out.
A 9-month calendar.
It's actually 90 minutes.
Oh my gosh, this is terrible.
Yeah. It's actually 90 minutes.
Cut July.
Yeah, July's really hot. Let's just forget.
Just July comes, you put the spotlight up for 10 seconds.
And you know, working with that cast, you know, they won Best Show Girls Dancers 2014. Mm-hmm. The music, actually, I scored all the arrangements for the show. Mm-hmm. So it was a challenge to put that together.
Yeah.
And it happened last minute. I basically wrote the show in two weeks time. And then I've been tweaking it over the last year or so. But again, with those musicians in the band, you know, it's crazy.
It's funny because I was thinking about Pinup. I've been writing a little bit about Jubilee and the changes in Jubilee, and it's tracked. And for all the money that they spent and all the changes that have gone on in that, you still can't replace live music in a show.
That's the aesthetic.
And unfortunately, that's the first thing that goes in every show. So is there ever a worry that pinup would just sell us and decide to go to
track? Do you ever worry about it going to tracks using your recording?
You know, as a rule number one, I don't worry. I mean, and in the words of Tom DeLibro, when I first moved here, treat every check like it's your last.
There you go.
I have hardly ever heard Tom DeLibro say anything. That's people quote him
all
the time.
Well, when I first met him 9 years ago, he gave me a call and he says, "You sound great, kid. Treat every check like it's your last."
Wow. And
he's part of the Terry Fader lineup.
Yeah, I mean, he said, you know, since he's been here 30 years or so, he has played the Sands, the Dunes, and the next thing you know, it's gone. The Stardust is gone. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't worry that pinup is going to change the format because the band is such a integrated part of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point, I think maybe they were worried that the band was getting too many accolades for the show.
I can see why.
I say that with humility, but it's really a heavy, heavy part of the show, and they wouldn't.
It stands out when you see, like I say, when you see so many tracked shows and then you come into pinup and you have that band right there, it is something you notice.
It's in your face. It's in your face.
I'll put Veronique in that category too. She could use a band. You should go play for her too.
Who's this?
Veronique over at Bally's.
Oh, yeah.
We need to hire you guys for her.
Okay.
Yeah, Katz is now going to act as your agent.
Not intentionally.
Yeah. And your 10% check is in the mail.
15, sorry.
Yeah,
15.
I just asked for a seat and a Sprite. That's it.
That's all. You know, Bally's, they revamped that whole show over there, right?
They have. They've done more with both their shows, actually, with Veronique and with Bally's.
And there's,
I mean, with Jubilee.
I mean,
and the
that's
Bally's.
A huge cast.
Oh, you
200 people. Yeah, I don't know, 150
100 and some in total, and 80 dancers, 82 dancers on stage.
Well, so. If I remember the track that they played to that was like a full 36 piece orchestra, MGM.
They
kind of musical.
A lot of the music in that show. So it is. It put some musicians to work for a time, but not on stage.
Okay.
Because they need room for Samson.
Yeah, that's right. We can't get a trombone in here. Not with that codpiece. With that, David Perico, catch him. We'll get these dates one more time. It's June 24th, 10 p.m. at the Smith Center with Pop Evolution. June 17th at the Tuscany Tea Spot with BBR, and that's at 10:30 to 11. Start right
about
11 o'clock.
It's about 11 o'clock.
Whenever we show up to introduce the band, I always introduce the band. Disclosure.
Yeah,
I always have some shtick going. Yeah. So thanks again, David, for coming in here.
Thank
I'm a big
you.
Fan of what you do, and I appreciate your busyness and just thanks for sitting with us.
Absolutely, thank you.